It's a Sclissette and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, there are still two different parshas. In Eretz Yisrael, it's Parshas Shelach, and in America, it's Parshas Baaloscha. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. Rav Soloveitchik, I heard often quoted, Parshas Baaloscha, it's like a bee getting his nectar going from flower to flower, because there's so much Torah, there's so many topics in Parshas Baaloscha and in Parshas Shelach. But we're going to start with Parshas Baaloscha, and then we'll go into Parshas Shelach, and we'll ask a couple of questions. The Torah tells us in Parakhes, Pasuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemur. Hashem speaks to Moshe, Daber el Aaron. Speak to Aaron de Martela, Baaloscha es Haneros. You should go and you should kindle the lamps. And you should raise them. And as we spoke about last week, the great Rav Moshe Feinstein that said, Rashi had two perushim, Baaloscha. One, that the candle should go up by itself, and the other one, that you have to step in. Take a ladder and step in, and we developed how you have to build yourself. But it's very fascinating. The Ramban, the great Nachmanides, 1197 to 1270. Amazing commentary, the great Ramban. And he says, do you know when Aaron was commanded to go and have, he was very upset. Rashi brings down, and what's the connection of Parshas Naso to Parshas Baaloscha, is that Aaron was very upset. He wasn't able to offer any carbons. So therefore, Hashem said, I'm going to give you Baaloscha Saneros. Says the Ramban. You know what he got? He got the candles of the Neros Chanukah. Even though Neros Chanukah, as we all know, is one of those Din D'Rabbanans. Right? It's Din D'Rabbanan. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Daf Chav Gimel, that it's a Din D'Rabbanan Chanukah Purim. Nevertheless, the Ramban says we have an allusion of Neros Chanukah right in the beginning of Parshas Baaloscha. But again, there's so much in Baaloscha. We read about the menorah. We read about their traveling. We read about Klal Yisrael complaining. We read about Miriam. It's very interesting, right? Rashi was alluding to it. He knew that there's going to be different Parshas between Baaloscha and Shelach. Right? Normally, you don't read Baaloscha and Shelach together, which we know. But Rashi says right away in the beginning of Shelach, Rashi says that what is the connection between Shelach, Loman Ismacha, Parshas Meraglim, and Parshas Miriam? We know even at the end of Parshas Baaloscha that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Navi that ever lived. So Rashi brings down, making that connection right away. Because Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, you would have thought that these evil people, Harishom Halalu, these Nisim, would have taken the Musar, Ro Velo Lachu Musar. They didn't take any Musar. But it's a very fascinating question. We know the Gemara tells us in Tainus Daf Chof Tes. That's actually the Gemara that we're going to talk about. The idea that we're still suffering today of Chet HaMeraglim, which is part of Shelach. Again, so much to talk about. The Gemara says in Tainus Daf Chof Tes, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the young Kohanim didn't know what to do. They took the keys to the Heichal, the great Heichal, and they threw it up to Shemayim. And they said, Hashem, we can't take it. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. And the Gemara says, a fascinating Gemara says, that Kaviyachol, the Shemayim, took the keys. And the question one is, why? What does that mean? The keys of a Heichal, specifically the Gemara says, the Heichal was thrown up to Shemayim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu caught them. 1A. Question 1B. We know that it says right after, and again, there's so many perushim on this. Rashi tells us right in the beginning of Parshas Baaloscha that it says that Rashi says Vayas Kein Aaron Pasuk Gimel Parakhes Pasuk Gimel Vayas Kein Aaron, says Rashi, like if Shivcho Shel Aaron Shelo Shina, that Aaron did not deviate. And everyone's asking, Aaron, the great Aaron HaKohen, always Shalom the Rodev Shalom, of course he didn't deviate. What is Rashi telling you that he didn't deviate? We'll call that 1B. Question 2. We know Klal Yisrael, they mess up. This is the starting of Klal Yisrael messing up. Right? In Parshas Shelach and Eretz Yisrael about the Meraglim. But we know they start messing up. And they're complaining they want their meat. even though they have the mun, they have everything, they just think about the meat, but they have their mun. And then right away, the Torah says something amazing. It says, it breaks off. If you were to ask someone, how many parshas, how many svarim there in the Torah? Most people would say five. But our parsha and parshas Baloscha says something different. It says, Vayhi ben so Aharon vayomer Moshe. Right, we read it, Vayhi ben so Aharon. Right, I remember my father always sings it. Whenever the Aharon is opened up, we say, Vayhi ben so Aharon, my father always sings it. And Rashi brings down that there are two nuns. There are two backward nuns in the Torah. The obvious question, why are there two nuns? Says Rashi, quoting down from the Gemara, right? The Gemara in Shabbos, that says something amazing. It says, the Gemara is found in Shabbos, Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. It says, why are we having these simanim? Because we're making it, Kedei Lahavsik Ben Peronius LaPeronius. We want to make a distinction between two bad things. Klal Yisrael is not acting very good, and therefore we want to make a distinction between the two. And I once heard a Gevaldik question from Rabbi Lamp, who is at Sal, the president of YU, great rabbi. He says, why Dafka Nuns? It could have been any letter. Why specifically Nuns? Why Nuns? I remember, I was zeiche to get smicha. My last bechino was with Rabbi Lamp. And I had a bechino right before with Rav Schechter, and I knew Rav Schechter. I actually learned Bechavrus a little with him and NCSY Kol. He goes to NCSY Kol and he learns all the Bachrim literally for 18 hours a day. It's the most amazing thing. He sits with groups of boys. And I was zochet to have a Bechavrus with him. So I knew him a little. And I went over to ask him questions. And I'm asking questions and he's answering me. And then he's like, I'm like, Rav Schechter, you know, I have a bechina. So he says, okay, enough with you asking me questions. I'm going to start asking you. So I got very nervous, but Baruch Hashem, I lost the after the Shmai, because the night before, I heard a shir from one of my rabbis, from Sachs, and it was a whole, that shir was the exact question he asked me. Remember, what's the difference between Kedushin and Nisun? If everyone wants to know the answer, you could email me, I'll tell you the answer. But then I had then I had my last bechina with Rabbi Lamb. So I started talking to Rabbi Lamb, you know, my father, Rabbi Schwartz, you know, my grandfather, Rabbi Baum's are trying to play the whole name game. And he's like, okay, but now it's time to get a bechina. I'm like, okay, great. So he's like, tell me, are you allowed to make early Shabbos? I'm like, obviously, everyone makes early Shabbos, but just because we do things doesn't mean there's a reason for it. But Baruch Hashem, siyat Shmai again, because I heard a shir 2 days before about making early Shabbos, the Gemara and Brachos, Daf Chavav, that Rav says you can make early Shabbos, Machlokas between the Rambam, is there Tosefes Shabbos, whatever, all these different details. But again, I remember that bechina. But Rabbi Lamb, why does that do anything? Because it's Rabbi Lamb. And Rabbi Lamb asks his Gevaldik question, why Dafka the two nuns? Question three. Again, each parsha deserves its own parsha. And each parsha does deserve its own parsha. But what we've been doing, I'm sure you all realize, that what we've been doing is taking ideas from Baal Luscha and Shlach. And when America is in Shlach, you'll chazir it over, obviously. But it's something amazing. We know that in Parsha Shlach, that we know we have the Chet HaMeraglim. But if you look very closely, there's an amazing Medrash. The Medrash says that the Bikurim is a fix-up for the Chet HaMeraglim. So A, we have to figure out what is that Chet HaMeraglim, and how is the Bikurim, but it's amazing. The great Rabbi Menachem Zemba, he wrote the famous Sefer Zera Avraham, beautiful Sefer, he was killed in the Holocaust by the Nachsi V'nach Shemo, Gevaldik Pilpul, and he says something amazing. He says, if you look, again, they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. They went to go see it, and they spoke Lashon Hara about it. And they spoke Lashon Hara. But again, Eretz Yisrael, we know we have Shiva Minim. But if you look closely in the Psukim, it's very interesting, because the Psukim say, specifically, it doesn't say all the Shiva Minim. It says three of them. It says, the Eshkol HaNovim, it's talking about the grapes, Umin HaRimonim, and the pomegranates, uminateinim. And if you look in the beginning of Maseches Bikurim, the Mishnayos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, Ketzen Mafrishin et Tavikurim, Yorid Adav L'toch Sadeu, he goes into his field, Vroa Te'eno, Eshkol V'rimo. Amazing! And then he puts a little bendel on it, and he says, these are Bikurim. Says Menachem Zemba, we have a Mefurish in the Pasuk, Mefurish in the Mishnah. There's a direct correlation between the Bikurim and the great, and the fix-up. But the question is, how is that? That's our job. So again, let's just pass it over. We always got to know our Torah. We got to be clear with our Torah. Again, question one is, they threw up the keys of the Heichal all the way up to Shemayim, and Hashem Kaviyachol caught them. Why specifically the Heichal? When it says Vayas Kain Aaron, and Aaron says Rashi didn't deviate from anything, of course he didn't deviate. Question two, why the backwards Nuns? Why specifically the Nuns? Again, there are seven parshas, Nun and Nun. If someone asked you, trivia, there's seven things in the Torah, not just five. And lastly, what is the correlation between Bikurim and the Chet HaMeragim? So what's the Yisoid? So again, I think there are two different Yisoidists. Again, the Yisoid is to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into our lives. But what does the Heichal represent? The Heichal, we know that the Azara was open, and the Heichal was closed off. And inside the Heichal was the Mizbeach. But also inside the Heichal was the Menorah. And we know that the Torah, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basar Chof Hei, that the Menorah represents Torah Shebaal Peh. The Menorah represents Torah. After the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the link, the Shekhinah being there, and although we got the second Beis HaMikdash, again it was different, the Gemara in Yuma says, Daf Lamed Hei, that there was differences, there wasn't the same amount of Kedusha as the first Beis HaMikdash. You know why they took the keys of the Heichal and they threw it up to Shemayim? Because the greatness of our Torah was lost when we lost the first Beis HaMikdash. The Menorah was in the Heichal. The Menorah represents Torah Shebaal Peh. And we have the ability to regain that connection to Hashem. And although we don't have the Beis HaMikdash and we're striving for it, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, see, Pita LeYeshua, Hashem's going to ask us one of the six questions. Did we really miss? Did we really feel that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash? Do we really feel like we need Mashiach right now? We need Mashiach. So do we feel it? And one of the reasons why we need it more is because that closeness to Hashem, the Shekhinah, but the power of Torah Shebaal Peh, the power of the Torah, will even be stronger. You know why Aaron, what does that mean, Aaron never deviated? So says the great Kedushas HaLevi, one of my ancestors, right? Levi Bardichet, and a lot of different answers. Do you know it was the day that he lost two of his children, and he always has to follow the Ribbono Shel Olam. He always has to follow the Ribbono Shel Olam. But not only that, he did it with a fire. He never got bored. You know, sometimes we start different things, and we're doing it, and we're going in the flow, and then all of a sudden we kind of like burn out. Like sometimes we start projects, and then a little peters out a little. Aaron was on fire always, literally, Baloiskas Haneros. Aaron was on fire. He always took the ability to take Kedusha and make it higher and higher. He worked on himself, he built himself, and there was always something new. You know, Revolvi writes in Ale Shore, a beautiful sefer, he says that when a person's davening, it's so hard. We do it three times a day, the same Shemona Esrei, and all of a sudden when we start Shemona Esrei, we just start thinking about everything, you know, it's an amazing thing. All of a sudden you got Shemona Esrei, and all of a sudden, boom! What's going on for lunch and supper and the whole thing? You know what I mean, if you know what I mean. And that's what happens with one essay, but the great Revolvi writes is imagine every single day you took something new. Like you're going on that train, every day is something new that you see outside the window. Something new, something small, something that you connect to Hashem with. And that was Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen realized that there's always his chachos. Says Rabbi Lamb, beautiful. Why Dafka Nuns? Why Nun? Out of all, you could have done any letters. Why bracket off? Take Vayhi ben So Aaron. And it's very interesting. We say Vayhi ben So Aaron, Vayomer Moshe. Kum Hashem v'afutz leivach. We're trying to get rid of our enemies. And they ask, why? What enemies? We're talking about bringing the Torah. We're opening the Aaron. We're bringing out the Torah to lane it. What do you mean our enemies? Because sometimes, you know what our enemies are? Our enemies are within. Our enemies are the Yetzirah. Our enemies are telling us that we can't do it. And our enemies are telling us, don't go for it. You want to build yourself fighting against that Yetzirah. Sometimes that Yetzirah is within ourselves. Says the Gemara Kedushin, Barasi, Yetzirah barasi Torah tavlin. I made you the Yetzirah, but you have the Torah to fight against it. I gave you complete spirituality. Says Rabbi Lam Gavaldik, why the nuns? The nuns represent, in Aramaic, nuna. Now, what's a nuna? A fish. A fish. You know, sometimes we're getting, things are coming at us. Difficulties, pressures. And we're going against the current. Sometimes the Jewish nation feels like we're always going against the current. And we're fighting it. Because we know we have that relation with Hashem. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and He's got our backs. And we're fighting against society. Society telling us that we're nothing. We're fighting. And we're like going, we're like nuna. We're like that fish fighting against the current. You know, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu min ha-mayim mishi. Why is he called Moshe? He had so many different names. Yered, Yekutiel, so many different names the Medrash says. Why do we go by Moshe? So one answer, obviously, is Moshe, because Basya, Bas Paro, went and saved him, and she named him Kim Amayim Mishi Suhu. But another answer is this answer. Min Hamayim Mishi Suhu, he drawed out from the water. Right? Ten Commandments, he should have been called Drew. I said that joke before, it's great. Not Moshe, Drew. And now I'll call you Moses, because I drew you from, call him Drew. Okay, anywho, but he, why is he called Moshe? Min Hamayim Mishi Suhu. Moshe Rabbeinu went against the current. Ibn Ezra says that he came from royalty. Imagine, this prince went in. The prince of Egypt went in and he said, I need to save my chosen nation. He went against Mitzrayim. He was raised in the house of Paro and he went against. Because this represents Klal Yisroel. The fish. You know, fish, the Gemara tells us that fish, even when it's raining, they just jump up and get the drops. They're living in water. What do you need the drops for? Because they always want more. They always want more Torah. As we know, the great Akiva, right? Little drop, little drop, little drop. Why? Because Mayim, in Mayim el Torah, Torah has the ability to even break a rock. Even break a rock. Right, the story of the fox, Igmar and Brachos, the fox and the fish. The fox turned to the fish and said, "Why? They're going to trap you, they're going to get you. Come outside." And the fish said, "Very nice, fox. But if I come outside, I'll die. My water is my home, my Torah is my home. If I want to fight and be that frum Jew, and even if we're being confronted, we need to realize we're like the nuna, we're like that fish. Vayihi ben so our own." Why specifically a nun, says her lamb? Because nuna, we want to be that fish. We want to realize that we have that relationship with Hashem. And we got to take chances. We got to go for it. We can't be afraid. We can't put limits on ourselves. I remember, again, I tell a lot of stories. Some of them I make up, some of them I don't. But again, I remember being in Edison Boys base. I don't know if I ever told this story. Bases were loaded, two outs, full count on me. Like one of those movies, and I hit a grand. I didn't hit a grand slam. It was in the World Series, Game 6. There were some players that played in very intense. Non-Jews in the league. A lot. It was very intense. A little too intense for me. There were some guys that played in the minors. There was, I think, two or three guys went to the major leagues from this league. Very intense. I was the guy up. We were down 3-2 in the series, Game 6. Bases are loaded. We're down by 2. Full count on me. Ball pitched, right? Pitcher throws the ball. I ain't swinging. It was maybe a strike, I'll be honest. I look at the ump, he looks at me, and he says, ball, walk. I'm like, wow, thank God. Runner goes in, I get an RBI for a walk, down by 1. And then the next player, very good player, he, same thing, and the umpire calls him out, and he's crying, and I feel bad for him, because that should have been me. But then I thought to myself, wow, why didn't I take the shot? I could have taken the shot. I could have went for it, although it was hard. I was in a crazy situation. The game was on the line for me, but I didn't take the shot. And although I did walk and I didn't end the game, you know, a little while later, I was in high school. I remember, again, I played for TABC. Maybe I should have played a little more. I always say I was the seventh man, even though they played 6. But there was one game. We were down by 2 with 10 seconds left. And the best player on the team took the shot and he missed it. And I grabbed the rebound. I remember. And I put it back in, and the team went nuts. We went into overtime, and we won. It was amazing. And I thought back to myself, I was doing a little kapara, because I didn't take the shot when I was a youngster, when I was in elementary school. Maybe if I got a base hit, I could have won the game for the team. Or a double, I definitely could have won, right? But I didn't take the shot. And again, sometimes we're faced with challenges. But minamayim mishisu, the stronger we get with ourselves, like we spoke about with Ramosha, the stronger we get with ourselves, the more we build the Torah into our lives. And although it's difficult, the more chesed we put in, the more tzedaka we give, the greater our lives will be, the more we tap into spirituality. So why specifically? Again, we could have shiurim just on Parsha Shlach, which we will. But why specifically these three things? Why these three things of the Bikurim are a kapara, for Shlach, for the Meraglim? So we know, obviously, the Meraglim messed up. And the Meraglim did not, they spoke Lashon Hara. They should have learned from Miriam, and they didn't. They spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, the greatest land, Baruch Hashem, we have Eretz Yisrael nowadays. Wow, it's a dream come true, but now we just need Mashiach and the Beis HaMikdash. We're not there yet. God willing, we will, but we got to keep on davening. But they messed up. How is a Bikurim? So I heard a beautiful pshat. A beautiful pshat. Rav Menachem Semba says this pshat. And once heard also from Ari Leibowitz that says this, he said it beautifully out on thousands of Shirim Hawaii Torah. He says that if you look, what is defined by each thing? We know that a te'ena is a fig. A fig is always growing, little by little by little. That represents consistency. You know, to have loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to be consistent with your actions. If you want to be loyal to anything, your job, your family, you got to be consistent. You want to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to be consistent with your davening and your learning and doing your chesed. It's about consistency. You know what Rimon represents? Rimon, we love Rimon, and sometimes we're a little scared of Rimon. You get a little stain, and then it can't get out. Right? I always tell that story at my Chaim's Bris. Is that one time my wife, she was expecting another child. She went to go... Right, she went to go check out or something. Baruch Hashem, everything was great. But she comes home, and we were making matzah pizza. And we're making oh, it's for Chaim's Bris. We were making matzah pizza, and I was very annoyed. Oh, you know, oil gets stained, all the clothing, the new Chol Hamoed clothing. So I told all my kids, take off your shirts. He walks in, he's like, what's going on? Same thing with the Rimon, pomegranate. We don't want to get stains on our clothes. But hopefully we won't. Some people love, my family, we love Rimonim. I always thought I didn't like it, but then I finally tried it, and it's awesome. And but Rimonim, the Gemara tells in Sanhedrin, represents mitzvos. No one actually ever counts 613 mitzvos. 613, right? 630, probably more, probably less, whatever. But it's talking about the mitzvos. That's Rimon. So we have Te'ena, Rimon, and Geffen, Anavim. Anavim, whenever you have something chashuv, whenever you make a kiddush, whenever you make, right, anything. Sheverbach is always on wine. Why? Because that's a davar chashuv. That's mindfulness, realizing that you could tap in. So there's three things here. Consistency, a te'ena, right? That represents loyalty. The idea of mitzvos, doing actions to Hashem. And the last thing, the mindfulness, being aware, realizing, putting Kedusha into something. This was the mistake of the Meraglim. The Meraglim did not view themselves as chashivos. They did not put mindfulness into what they were doing. They got nervous. They got nervous that they were going to have to go into Eretz Yisrael and it was going to be a little harder. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Hey that Eretz Yisrael is making to be certain. It's a lot harder here. It's a lot harder, but there's reward. And the Meraglim didn't believe in themselves. They didn't believe. They didn't believe they could do it. They didn't believe in themselves that they could do the 613 mitzvos. You know, it's a lot of mitzvos. The Rambam writes at the end of Makkos, he says in Peres Mishnayos, he said, you know why there's so many mitzvos? Because each one of us could take one and we could... Mamash could be our mitzvah. Again, we ought to try to do all of our mitzvahs. But we could take different mitzvahs upon ourselves. And this idea of mindfulness, putting it in, thinking about things. I think this is the aside. The menorah represents Torah. The menorah represents the sweetness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us his Torah. He's given us a piece of him. You know, when they threw up to the Heichal, they said, listen, our connection, based on Mikdash Rishon, is destroyed. What are we going to do? We don't have the menorah anymore. But then, Baruch Hashem, we had Bayis Sheni, but we're lacking. We need Bayis Shlishi. The menorah represents our Torah Shebaal Peh, represents how much amelis, how much fire we put into our Torah. Are we going to be that Aaron HaKohen? Even though when things sometimes come stale and they're hard, are we still going to put kayak into it? Are we going to persevere and realize it's powerful? Are we going to take our davening and every day view it different, do a different aspect, another thing he gave in me, another thing I could ask for, another thing of a connection? and this idea of Bikurim being a kapara for the Chet HaMeraglim, because they didn't really look carefully. They didn't put mindfulness into it. They didn't put the idea of, wow, I could do 630 mitzvahs, I'm going to have the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to do this, and they forgot about the consistency. We need to always be consistent with Hashem. Even if things are hard, we need to always be consistent with Hashem. So the Torah, we got to be like those fish, got to fight against the current. We got to realize that we have this special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He loves us so much, and He believes in us. That's why He put us all in this world. We all have a mission. We all have a mission to accomplish the Chivshua for greatness. With our Torah, with our Chesed, with our Tefillah, we're going to rebuild that third base on Megdash. We got to want Mashiach more. We want Mashiach more. We have to realize that we got to make a kapara for the Chet HaMeraglim. And we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us and loves us. And let's just bring the fire of Torah more into our lives. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing, amazing Shabbos.